I hope in what we're going to cover, by the way, the topic of this fellowship is redeeming the time. Okay, and before we get into it, I think we have to take some time to consider. Because if we don't consider, it will just be me kind of telling you stuff, and it's like giving you a message, and you haven't really considered it. So there is a question that I've been thinking about for a while, and it's been looking at you the whole time tonight. Who can tell me what that question is? Go. Good. What is time? What is time? This is a question all of us need to consider. And now I'm asking you, what do you think time is? Abnell, you can't answer. Okay, anyone. Don't all answer at once now. Okay, go.
It's a limited resource.
Okay, good. I like that. A limited resource. I would try to write it on the board, but my writing is not that great. But we'll limited. I like that. Anyone else?
It's very theoretical.
Very theoretical. That's good. Very theoretical. Okay. Yes. A measurement. Wow, these are all these interesting answers. Okay. Yes. It's a what?
It's a word.
W-O-R-K?
Word.
W-O-R-D.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Okay. Yes. Okay, we'll put it in here as one of our eternal.
It's a creation of God.
Interesting. A creation of God. Wow, we got lots of good kids. Go.
Process.
Okay. I'm going to fill this board here very soon. Yes. An independent variable. Someone's been in math class too long. Okay. Yes.
Money.
Oh, that's a grown man. Okay, time is money. I've heard that one a lot. Anybody else? Okay.
Something to keep track of.
Okay, we'll take two more. Okay. Okay, who has?
It's something that shows us when we are born and when we die.
Ah, I like that. It tells us when we're born and when we die. Okay, very good. We've got enough answers. Okay, well, one more. Go ahead. God's way of keeping order. Okay. Should I have told them this was a trick question? Okay. All right. These are very good answers. Very good answers. But I think, a lot of these answers don't say what time is to us. One of them, actually, maybe two of them do. And I'd like to point your attention to this. But let me address the grown man answer first. Okay? Time is money. How many of you agree with that? Okay, we've got a fair... Everybody who's old agrees with that. Okay. All right. So here's the point. Let me tell you. Here's what happens with money. Today, I can have $100. Who would like $100 today? Yeah, I'm not going to give that to you. But today, I could have $100. And what will happen is tomorrow, I go somewhere, I talk to Jimmy. Jimmy is really sad. I need to cheer him up. We need to take him some boba. And then he calls everybody else. And then we spend all this money on boba. And now I only have $5. Okay? So I can lose money in that kind of way. But here's the thing. John takes pity on us, and then he gives me $50 more. So I can lose money, and I can gain money, right? So here's the problem. With time, you can lose it, but you can't gain it. So money will come, money will go, money may come again. But time will always go. So someone said, a limited resource. Oh, that was the first one. Okay, very good. Who said, don't worry. It's a limited resource. But it's a limited resource, but it's a little bit more important than that. And I think the second to the last question, where is it? When we are born and when we die. Okay, now Abnell, you can answer. Time is your life. From the day you're born till the day that you die, you are always losing time. You're always losing time. You can't make it back up. It's not something that you can, you know, you can't spend it and then gain it back. All you can do with time is you spend it. And so if you realize this and you begin to see, my goodness, my limited resource of time is only going away, then you need to begin to think, or what am I doing with my time? How am I spending my time? Actually, I'll tell you this. Here's something even more interesting. It also means if I can master time, I can master life. Think about it, okay? I know we're supposed to be exercising our spirit and everything, but okay, but we should exercise our mind under the control of our spirit, okay? So I do want you to think about some of these things. If I have a good grasp of how to handle my time, all of a sudden, I have a good grasp of how to handle life. And it's interesting. We call this the summer school of truth. And you're probably thinking, I know a lot of you are thinking about this, and I know all the parents are thinking about this. They're going, it's the summer school of truth, and the most important thing in the summer school of the truth is the truth. Yes? Okay. But let me tell you the first thing they give to you when you come to the summer school of the truth. It's a schedule. Nobody believes me. Open your outlines and look at the back. Is it on the back or on the front? Okay. It's on the first page. This is the summer school of the truth, and the first thing they give to you in the summer school of the truth is what? It's a schedule. So this to me means if you're going to get the truth, the first thing you need to deal with is time. So as important as truth is, time is the first thing you need to deal with when you want to deal with the truth. So you consider this, and you can tell I've been thinking about this for a long time. So you go, okay, I've got some idea now. Time is my life. And if I can figure out how to deal with my time, in a certain sense, I can figure out how to arrange my life and how to make the things. So here's the point. Okay, let's do this. If I'm going to fix up my time in a way that it would be profitable, okay, this is still our exercise of what is time. The first thing I need to do is I need to think, what are the things that are important to me? If it's not important to me and I spend my limited resource of time on it, that's a waste of my time. And so the whole point is you're not just getting a schedule, okay? They didn't just give you some kind of generic schedule. It's a schedule that arranges the things that are important to you. And the whole idea behind it is this. If I didn't have a schedule to take care of my time, I will probably spend it on a bunch of unimportant things. And then, after all that time is gone, it may start with 5 minutes, then 10 minutes, then an hour, 2 hours, 3 days, 5 days, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 10 years, and then you look back, and it's, what have I done with my time the last 10 years? Now, if you are wise, what you do is something like this. These are the things that are important to me today. My time is a limited resource, so I make some kind of schedule, and I go, this is what's important to me. I need to spend some time with my siblings. I know this is taboo in some houses. Okay. But you go, okay, 30 minutes of that every day. Just try to get some positive time. I need to spend some time reading the Bible. 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Okay, you put that in there. I need to spend some time to pray. I put 5 minutes. I need to, well, hopefully the Lord will keep increasing that. I need to do such and such and such. These are the things that are important to me in my life. And so I arrange them. And now, after 10 years, I can look at that accumulation of my schedule. And all of a sudden, of these 10 years, I've spent 5 years with my siblings. I've spent 2 years in the Word of God. I spent so many years. You can actually look at your time that way, and all of a sudden, you have not wasted your time. Okay? So, the first thing is, really, what is time to us? Time is our lives. Okay, excuse me. I will now turn the board around. I hid some things on the back. Okay. All right. So, I hope you would write these verses down. And I hope that you can see them. It's Psalm 90, verse 12. And I kind of put verse 10 there for you to consider. And then Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Okay. Psalm 90, 12 says, "Teach us then to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Okay, the person who wrote this psalm is Moses. I think everybody here knows who Moses is. Moses figured this out a long time ago. You know, and I think, what class was it that did Psalm 90 verse 2 today? Oh, some class did Psalm 90, verse 2.
We did 91.
Oh, 90, verse 1. Thank you. What class did Psalm 90, verse 1?
Life.
Okay. So, in Psalm 90, verse 1, there's this whole talk about God being, God being from eternity to eternity. And so, with God, you can say there's this aspect of outside of time, ever expansive, from negative time to positive time and to eternity outside the sphere of time. In this same psalm, as Moses is talking about God, he gets into this thing, what about man? And he goes, whoa, men only have about 70 years, and if you're a little stronger, you get 10 extra years. And so you get up to 80 years. And if this is what happens, how should we live our days on the earth? And what should we do with our struggling and our labor? And we're here today and we're gone in such a short time. And when he realizes this, he says this, teach us then to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So I am hoping that as we are going through this exercise, you realize the importance of time so that you can gain a heart of wisdom. Okay, today, right now, I was asking Jimmy earlier, what's the youngest age here? And I think it's kind of 11 and a half, and then 12, and then everybody else is higher than 12, kind of, except for like Josiah or someone who's somewhere around. So the whole view here is, listen, and I was talking to one of the brothers about this, or rather, he was talking to me about this. It's really interesting in Luke chapter 2 that it mentions that the Lord was the age 12 when they went to the temple. And what always used to impress me about that, okay, this is a sidebar, okay, someone please remind me to get back on track. What's interesting to me about that story there is the Lord is 12 years old. He goes into the temple and he's teaching a bunch of folks. So that's like one of you standing up here and telling us all kinds of things about the Bible. And I started thinking about that. I think too much, don't I? And I figured, hey, for the Lord to be able to do that at 12, it must mean he was reading the word long before that. What have you been doing? Anyways, no, I mean, this is a real thing. This is a real thing. And so the Lord had been in the Word and soaked with the Word to the extent that he could have a discussion of this nature with all these ones who were supposed to be teachers at the age of 12. And so I thought, man, you know, if the Lord was doing this at the age of 12, what have I been doing with my, I'm not going to tell you how old I am. What have I been doing with my time? So here's the thing. Some of us have wasted some time, but we've learned something. But we want you to know at this age, this is when you need to begin to consider these things. What am I going to do with my time? How am I going to make my schedule? How am I going to plan these things? Okay, I'm going to say this now, and maybe the parents should close their ears. You know, with the young people, yes, thank you, Jimmy. Some of you like to relax, you like to play games, you like to do this, you like to do that. In a sense, I'm not that bothered that you like to do that. What bothers me is how much time you spend doing that. Okay, you just get in it and you're consumed by it, and I'm looking at you and you're looking at me and I'm going, this thing is not going to be important to you in 2 months, but you spent this much of your limited resource of time on it. And I'm going, don't they know? 60 seconds of your time is gold, okay? It's more important than gold. But you just tossed away 3, 4, 5, 6 hours on what? TikTok, Reddit, Xbox 360. No, no, it's not 360 anymore. What's the new one? S? Huh? Yes, PS5 is out, and then they're trying to do another one. Okay. Anyways, the point is this. In a sense, and okay, I can say this, and the parents can open their ears because they're the ones who bought it for you. Okay? Okay. So, oh, Lord Jesus. Okay? The problem is not that you, in a sense, that you spent, it's that you spend way too much time on this. How about you take some of that time and allot it to the things that are important in your life? How about you take some of that time and you allot it to things that have eternal value? Actually, in a sense, before we, I was going to talk about us first before we start talking about eternal value and whatnot. But the whole view is this. There are certain things that you can spend your time on that will be profitable for the future, like your education. Okay, you need to take care of your grades. You need to spend some time in your school studies and take care of all of these kinds of things. These are the things that will be profitable for you in the future. They will change your quality of life, et cetera, et cetera. But all of us here and your parents here are not only interested in you having like a great job in the future. They would want you to have a great job in the future, a good, you know, a good livelihood. But they think that there is something much, 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 much more important than a great job in the future. In their view, they've kind of discovered, hey, depending on how I spend my time today, which is very limited, and according to Moses in Psalm 90, you might only get 80 years. Within those 80 years, I can gain eternity. So the question becomes, what are you going to do with your time? Now you know your time is your life. Now you know, okay, if I know how to deal with my time, if I know how to use it to deal with certain things, I may be able to get something profitable from it. And this is just for the human life. But now you have something related to your eternal destiny. That time and how you use your time can work out. This is the profit of profits. It's the most important thing. And so I bet, or really, I wonder, why did you all think we sang this hymn? You can look at it again. I think a number of people thought we sang it because of like stanza 3 or stanza 4 or stanza 5. Actually, we sang it because of stanza 1. It's this: God eternal has a purpose formed in his eternal past, spreading to eternal future. Between these ends, all time is cast. For with time, there is a process. Time for his accomplishment. And in time, we're merely travelers. For eternity, we're meant. Whether you will gain that eternity depends on how you use this time. God has a purpose that he's trying to accomplish in time. And actually, so I spent all this time looking at, I'm talking about time. I spent all this time looking at a bunch of verses about time. And you will not believe this. Okay. Did you know? Oh, no. Let me do it this way. Where are the first set of verses that talk about time? I know this is not like Genesis what? Genesis 1. Okay, you all are supposed to have memorized Genesis 1:1, okay? Yes, that's all it says. Okay. Okay, all right, let's try again. Genesis 1. Okay, okay. Okay. It's not it. Okay. It's not 1:1. Okay. It's not 1:1. And it's probably not 1:2 either. Someone needs to look at this. What? Okay. All right. Should I help you? No, I don't want to help you out. I want someone to tell me. No, you can't just, it doesn't work like that. You can't just keep going up in incremental verses. Okay, what does 1:5 say?
He created light and darkness.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Genesis 1:5, and God called the light day and the darkness.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, okay, yes. He called the light day and the darkness he called night. Finish, or the next. There we go. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. Oh, one day. one day. Think about this. Here's the God of the universe who dwells in eternity outside of time. And even when he starts doing stuff for his purpose, everything starts with time. So even God, this is ridiculous, even God himself has limited himself to time. God works on a schedule. That's what Genesis 1:5 tells you. If God works on a schedule, what should you do with your time? Good. Schedule. You know, so you just consider this. You just consider this. And so, one second. He does this. He creates, and he starts doing all these things in time. And I love this. In the New Testament, there's this word. And at the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, that he might redeem those under law. This means you have creation. It has to do with time. You have the incarnation. It happened. It had to happen at a specific time. What the Bible calls the fullness of the time. Now, let me see. We have the full salvation class, the life class, and? Okay, the church class. Okay, full salvation class. Question two. I forgot to start my timer. Okay. And here I am talking about time. Okay, all right. In full salvation class, God's full salvation class, and I don't know if you cover this, but help them out. Was there a time that Christ had to die by? Who said no? Absolutely yes. Because in the Old Testament, there was a prophecy concerning when he would come and when he would die and when he would resurrect from the dead. So even when the Lord was living on the earth, he was not like living willy-nilly. I'm just going to spend some time, you know, build some chairs or this kind of thing, and then I'll hang out and relax. No, he had a certain schedule in mind, and he knew at 33 and a half or about that, I need to be going to the cross, and then I need to die. And listen, after 3 days, did we sing after 3 days, something like that? We have a hymn like that. No? Okay, all right. Maybe I'm remembering wrong. But there is a hymn that talks about his resurrecting after 3 days. All of these things were according to the schedule of the prophecy in the Old Testament. So again, I'm telling you, first of all, you need to realize what your time is. You need to realize what time is in the eyes of God. And you need to consider, how will I spend my time today? What are the things that are important for me? What are the things that are important for eternity? Okay, let me see. How much time do I have left? Okay, all right, good. Oh, so I've only used about 15. Oh, very good. Okay, all right. So we've covered all of these things. You see what there is to God, you know, what time is to God. It's a process time for his accomplishment. Now, let's read this. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Not as unwise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So when Moses was talking about this in the Old Testament, he was just saying, hey, look, because I have time as a limited resource, I need to understand and I need to, you know, gain a heart of wisdom. So I number my days and make sure that it's useful. Now, by the time you get to the New Testament, the story is different. The story is different. You can say, with Moses, it was kind of neutral, but you had to make a certain kind of decision. Okay, in the New Testament, it's not saying, teach me to number my days that I may gain a heart of wisdom. It's saying, look, if you don't redeem the time, you will spend it on evil. That's what that verse is pointing out. So anything that you do that's not related to eternity, this is evil. You're a waste of time in all of these different kinds of things. The whole point is everything now, everything is after your time. And so it's not a question of, am I going to spend my time doing this? Am I going to spend my time doing that? If you don't take care of your time properly in relation to your human life, in relation to your Christian life, in relation to all the things that are there for eternity, you will end up spending it on evil. And that's the warning that's there. So it's no longer, how will you spend your time? It's now, are you going to spend your time on evil, or are you going to redeem your time? Okay. I hope this makes sense. Yes? Okay, good. All right. So with this, we now have to ask, what does it mean to redeem the time? What does it mean to redeem our time? Good. To use it wisely. The verse says, do not walk not as unwise, but wise. So use your time wisely. What does it mean to use your time wisely? Okay?
It means to not squander your time by doing things that wouldn't have a lasting effect.
Okay, very good. Good.
Be productive, spend time with the Lord, build up your Christian life.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh, this is like Joshua, where the sun went up and then didn't. Is that right? No, that was just one day. That was just one day. I'm not sure which one you're referring to. But someone else will look it up. Okay. Okay, so here's the point. Here's the point. You need to spend your time, like Caleb said, on things that have eternal effect. And you need to spend your time on things that take care of your testimony before man and your testimony before God. You need to spend your time on things that will gain you eternity. Okay? And so from here, we can now begin to talk about what are some of these things. One, spend some time to read your Bible. Okay? I know we're all here in Summer School of Truth. And here's the best part, okay? Here's the best part of Summer School of Truth. You don't really have a choice about how you spend your time in Summer School of Truth because we made a schedule for you and exactly what you will be doing for the next 1 week. So you need to pay attention and spend your time in the Summer School of the Truth. Pray when you need to pray. Sing when you need to sing. Exercise when you need to exercise. Listen when you need to listen. Rest when you need to rest. As you take care of these things, you are investing in gaining eternity. Okay, it's not a small thing. This is why we have Summer School of Truth. We want you to gain eternity. And Summer School of Truth will be so much more useful to you if you know the verses in the Bible. So you need to spend some time to read the Word of God. Everything that we talk about here, every single thing is based on the Word of God. Okay? I know you're thinking, I only gave you two verses for the matter of time. All right. Okay, all right. I really spent a lot of time looking up all of these different verses. Did you know? Okay, now I'm asking the parents. Did you know that in John 7, the Lord speaks specifically about time? He said this. Your time is always ready. Mine is not yet. And this was in the matter of going up to the feast and so on and so forth. Then, look at this. Even all of creation, someone said something about order. Time gives order to everything. The rotation of the earth around the sun needs to happen in a certain kind of way so that we are not roasting on the earth. Okay? Everything in God's creation is based on a schedule. You've got summer. Well, here we only have like summer and winter. We don't really have, spring and fall. We don't really have a summer and we don't. Wait, it's how many? There are four. Okay. It is spring, summer, fall, and winter. And here in California, we only have two. But the point is, there is still a schedule for these things to run. So you have certain kinds of seasons, you have certain kinds of times, and these are things that are in the Word. Actually, in Ecclesiastes 3, from verses 1 through 8, there's this verse, you know, and when I was much younger, they used to make us say all this stuff. And I never, not for a moment did I understand what I was talking about. Anyways, I hope you're not like me. You'd go, oh, a time to live, a time to die, a time to be born, a time to do this, a time to do that. For everything, there is its own time. Here's the point. Your time matters, and what you spend your time on is very crucial. So, again, how do you want to spend your time these days when you're doing certain kinds of things? So, the brothers told me, why don't you show them some of the fancy things they can do with the Recovery Version app? Actually, let me start this way. How many of you have the Recovery Version app? Okay. How many of you read your Bible from the Recovery Version app? Looks like less. Okay. How many of you know that the Recovery Version app can read the Bible to you? Okay. All right, let's try this way. How many of you have the Recovery Version app read the Bible to you? Oh, no. Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. So, listen, I know. At this age, you know, there's so many more things that could be so much more interesting, or at least you think they're much more interesting. But the point here is this. Should I say this? Okay, the point here is this. You can at least have the app read the Bible to you. Just do it. And one of the interesting things about schedules is schedules don't depend on your mood. Okay, no, I'll tell you. So I'm talking, okay, we're all talking about reading the Bible. Let me tell you how it happens. Everybody is here in Summer School of Truth. Joel said, read your Bible. Spend so much time talking about reading your Bible. So everybody gets stirred up. And next week, right after Summer School of Truth, you're reading like 10 chapters a day. And then 1 week later, you're down to 5 verses a day. And 2 weeks later, no one's reading anything. Okay? Oh, Lord Jesus. This is really the way it works. This is why we're telling you, you need to make a schedule. You set a time, and this is what I do on this time. And so it doesn't matter whether you're happy and excited to read your Bible, you will read your Bible. And whether you're not that excited to read your Bible, this is the time for me to read my Bible, so I will read my Bible during this time. So, the same way you have a schedule for Summer School of Truth, you need to have a schedule at home. You need to have a schedule after I come back from school. You need to take care of these things in this way. Why? So that you don't spend your time in the things of the evil days. All right, I know I'm talking to the young people now. All your parents know this by experience. They know, and I speak for all of us, that we have wasted a lot of time, and we don't want the same thing to happen to you. So our heart and our desire, and the reason why some of you were dragged here today is so that these mistakes that we made, you will not make the same mistakes. We want your days to be more profitable than our days. We want your days to count for eternity. All the time that we've lost, we want you to gain. So my hope is, as you consider these things, you would not just listen to me here. You would pray about it, and you can ask your parents to work with you on a schedule. And here's the best part. They are so excited to do this. If you go, you want to make your parents happy, you go home tonight, okay? I know you may have had a hard time the whole time. You go home tonight, and you tell your mom or you tell your dad, let's make a schedule for what I'll be doing for the rest of the summer. I bet you they will go in there kicking and screaming, and they'll be so excited that he talked about making a schedule for the rest of the summer. Anyways, okay, so this is one aspect of the matter of time. Now I want to cover the second aspect.
Okay.
Okay, I want to cover the second aspect. This verse where it says redeeming the time, this word time also means opportunity. It also means opportunity. So on one hand, we're talking about time and life. On the other hand, we're talking about opportunity. And so many of you are here today. And I don't think any of you have this thought, but I grew up in a certain kind of situation. And I know some of us had this kind of thought. It was something like this. Why do I have to spend my time in the things of the Lord right now? Why can't I just go do something else, and then I'll come back again sometime? And then, you know, then I'll love the Lord and I'll spend time doing all of these kinds of things. Okay, the first thing you need to remember is whatever time you spend on those things is gone forever. You can never get that time back. The second thing I'll say is this. We have limited opportunities to spend our lives on the Lord. And the story that impresses me the most in the New Testament, I know you all have heard about this, and I'm not talking about it in a sense in terms of consecration. I'm talking about it in the sense of missed opportunity. So in Matthew 26, there is this story of the Lord. He's there, he's in the house, and then there's this lady that comes, and then she breaks her flask of alabaster, of very pure nard, and she wipes his hair with her feet, and all of these kinds of things. And there, the Lord says something like this. Don't be upset with her. She has done it beforehand for my burial. And I always used to wonder, what does he mean by that? She did it beforehand for my burial. What does he mean by that? So I was reading, and I kept reading. And if you go to the end of Luke, there's this story, and it says there were these sisters. This is after the Lord was dead and buried, and they wanted to anoint the Lord. Did you know that? They wanted to spend their time. So they said, they thought, he'll always be there for us to anoint him and this kind of thing and to spend our lives on him and everything. But this is what happened. They went to the tomb. It was too late. The opportunity was gone. So here's the thing. You have an opportunity today. You have an opportunity this week. You have an opportunity in these next few years to pour yourself out on the Lord. This opportunity may not come again. So you need to redeem the opportunities. And Summer School of Truth gives you many opportunities. It's a whole week of Summer School of Truth for you to gain the Lord, for you to pour yourself out on the Lord. And my prayer and my hope, because my time is now up, is not just that you'll hear what we have to say. It's that you'll pray about this and you will go home tonight. And you will talk to your parents about making a schedule for the rest of the summer, and you will pray together with them that the Lord will help you and your parents to keep your schedule so that you can redeem the time, you can gain a heart of wisdom, and you can gain eternity.